When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beat and Track podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Today's episode, well, let me tell you, I've waited a long time for this one. And I reached out many years ago when I first set up Off the Beat and Track. And it never quite worked out. And then I got contacted, you know, a week or so ago, and I've recorded this on Good Friday. That's how much I want this one. And I chat to Dave McCabe of the Zootons, and I love that band, and I'm intrigued to speak to him about songwriting. And I don't know why I said I'm intrigued. I've recorded it. It's already done. I've just finished it. And what a wonderful human. We've just had such a great chat, and we've pressed stop and carried on having a big old natter. He was very interested in knowing more about the toothbrush and the club I run. And it was just a lovely chat. And surprise, surprise, Dave chooses some great records, some that you probably wouldn't have expected, but they've all got a fantastic story attached to them. Before we get on with the episode, a few thank yous. I want to thank the team at Blue Murder Club, which is a true crime podcast, and it's that team over there that produced this episode. I'd also like to thank Mr. Scroobius Pip. Let's show some love to Pip, because he's obviously, you know, an absolute godfather of the podcast scene. And if it wasn't for Pip, I wouldn't be even entertaining the concept of podcasts, because he asked me to guest on a couple of his drunk casts way back, and that led to me setting up the Hardcore Listening podcast, and fast forward, you know, a year from then, and I thought I'm going to launch Off the Beaten Track. And then it's been something that's been such a huge part of my life. You know, each week I'm generally recording two episodes or more, and over the last God knows how many years now, I've recorded well over 500 episodes, and I've got to have so many chats with delightful humans just like the one you're about to hear. And if you like what you hear today, and it's the first time you've listened to Off the Beaten Track, then go and explore that back catalogue, because you can hear me chatting to a huge amount of guitar bands that all kind of cut their teeth around the same time as the Zootons, whether that be the Killers, the Kaiser Chiefs, the Kooks. I've had them on, and big rock stars like the Foo Fighters and Motley Crue, through to super producers like Butch Vig and Fatboy Slim, and some of the greatest British actors. We mentioned This Is England on this show. I've had Thomas Turgoos on. I've had Joe Hartley on. Who else have I had on? Helen Behan, all from This Is England, which is one of my favourite of the shows. I've been so lucky to have them come and guest on this podcast. And loads of stand-ups, all your favourites, Acaster, Gamble, Maisie Adam, they've all been on. So when you get to the end of today's Ace Chat with Dave, go and explore the back catalogue afterwards, and why not subscribe? And if you'd like to support the podcast, let me tell you how you can do that. Easiest way is just to give us a follow on the socials, and why not just share it or retweet it, or is it called re-exit now? I don't fucking know. Other than that, the best thing you can do is support us on Patreon. And let me tell you how that works. You just go over to Patreon, patreon.com/offthebeat and track, beat and not beaten, beat and track podcast. Head over to there and watch the little video, and then you can just click subscribe, and it'll cost you $1 a month. So whatever that is, 80p. And you get to watch all the episodes ad-free. You can see the videos. You can, you know, watch my aged head and lots of cool, you know, pop stars' faces. So you can go and watch them. And you can also get access to hundreds of unreleased shows. I've put loads and loads of radio shows up over there that I've recorded in my little studio. And we do a monthly live hangout on Zoom, where we pick a little topic and we all just chat, and it's your opportunity to get involved in the show and talk about what, you know, your experiences within the subject that we're talking about. And it's just a really cool, chilled hangout. It's not a sort of indie snobby thing at all. But I've released a few, so go and have a look on the archives. And if you'd like to come along, we'd love to see you there. It's a wonderful little gang. You can turn up and have your camera off and your mic off and just sort of listen in. Or you can get as involved as you'd like. And yeah, all of that costs less than £1 a month. And that just goes into keeping these free episodes coming thick and fast. And so, yeah, you can find out about that, the socials and everything else at your one-stop shop, which is offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. Let's get on with it. Ladies and gentlemen, please enjoy today's episode with Dave McCabe of the Zootons.
It's Off the Beat and Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin.
Okay, we are recording. Dave, how are you today, mate?
Oh, good. Really good.
Good. I mean, we're having this conversation like we've not already had a proper chat. Like, we've already worked out you've been in the gym.
But still a temple. One that's in, it's getting refurbished.
Part one.
Yeah, something like that.
So we're going to kick off your playlist, Dave, and I always do this the same way, and I ask guests to tell me the song that they regard as having the greatest ever intro, please.
Well, I want to start by saying it's probably not the greatest ever intro in terms of, because this was the hardest question. There was two really hard ones. So this is a weird one. But you know where Tracy Jacks by Blair? It's on Park Life. And it's got this little noise at the start. It goes jigging. But I used to work in this factory when I was like 17. And as soon as I hear that, it drops and transports me back to 1998. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, it just takes me back to that exact them moments and everything, and so much. So when I put it on, and I don't listen to the album that often, but when I do, I listen to the whole thing, and it really does. Like Oasis, I've kind of, because I've been on a nostalgia path quite a bit recently, and then Oasis, when you put Oasis on, it's kind of like, what is it? I've heard it. I listened to it so many times and I heard it out and about, and my mates had it on so many times. And like, I had Scally mates, you know, well, we were all Scallies really. We weren't like, you know, half Scally, half hippie. So they didn't, where I was getting into the Kinks and the Beatles and stuff like that, and like, you know, John Lennon solo or whatever, they would literally just play Nirvana or Oasis, and they'd just skin up and just put it on. So it was always there in the background. So I think they kind of killed it for me. So I'm holding them accountable. But Blair Park, like, for some reason, that never cottoned on. That came a bit later for me, like about 2 years later. But yeah, it just, that's what it is. It just transports me right back. See, I want to say, all the songs on this playlist, they're not exactly represent. If they're not all they're not all my favourite songs of all time, or but I've tried to answer them as accurately as possible to what actually things remind me of. I've actually done what you've asked me.
Fantastic.
Okay. But be prepared.
Dave, I want to ask you about intros and you know, if we look back to when the Zootons first appeared on most people's radars, the way that people were listening to music was probably CDs, and this was maybe just at the sort of introduction of the sort of formative years of streaming services and that, which now are literally so very dominant. What we see now with you know, the streaming services is that Spotify is awash with bands, and you know, you've got to get through, you've got to really sort of do something to cut through to kind of get on these playlists. And, and where I'm going with this, Dave, is I'm just interested to know as a songwriter how, like, things like the getting on these sort of Spotify playlists and hooking people quickly, because it feels to me the younger generation's attention spans are getting a little bit shorter and shorter, and the evolution of like TikTok and that kind of having influence on how people are getting their music. I look at my kids and they come and reference songs from the 90s, and I'm like, well, where'd that come from? They're like, oh, I did it on TikTok. And I'm like, oh, right, okay. So in a roundabout way, what I want to know is, Dave, does any of these kind of trends in how people are listening to their music and consuming their music now filter through into your creative process? And I guess essentially the intro as well.
No, is the answer to that question, because I'm not on TikTok. And I mean, I just think, if I want to be dead honest, I think like that repetitive thing, and I might be shooting myself in the foot here, because obviously if you get, they call it the TikTok lottery, and one of your songs or a bit of one of your songs gets played. Yeah, I'll give you an example. Years ago, we done it in America. We had a Levi's advert for Pressure Point. And people at the gigs in America, when we were supporting bands there, when we'd start playing the song, they never had any singing, main vocal. They just had like all bits from out of the song with, and like cowbell, and then where it kicked off, and I'm screaming Pressure. So it never actually had any of the song on there. So when you were playing it at the gig, people, you could see people in the crowd like kind of looking at each other going, I know this, but where from? Or don't I know it? Or where do I know this from? So I think like it's kind of, I like the idea of taking the bit of the song that just, you know, is going to grab your attention, or the best bit. But I'm a bit of a, you know, I like songs. I like to see where they drop. I like to see them where they go up. So it doesn't influence me in any way, because if I thought like that, you'd just have an album full of 10-second songs, basically. You'd literally just be going, please put me on TikTok. Do you know what I mean? So that for me is like, it's just, you know, you're in a whole other world, just basically selling jingles.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But you're going the long way round about it. And I don't, you know, I'm not saying I'm against TikTok at all. And it's good that you lads have got onto stuff from the 90s. But when I hear things like, when I'm on Instagram and I hear the same bit of the song over different types of montages or whatever, of that's the right word, of videos, I go off it pretty much straight away, because it's like, oh, no, that again. So it becomes a really competitive. I don't think it's good for your brain. I don't even think it's good for advertising, because I don't think it grips you. And, but, you know, I'm a funny, weird, funny fella. It's like, you know, things can get quite repetitive pretty quickly, I suppose. But it doesn't draw me in. It makes me go, oh, this again. Like, you know, it's a bit weird. It's a funny thing. And I think it drives your mental. To be honest, if I was on TikTok and I had one bit of three songs pretty much all day for each video that I've seen, I think it'd put me in a weird mood, and I'd probably be quite grumpy for the rest of the day. So it was, that, you know what I mean? Because it's bad enough on Instagram, but that's my honest thing about it. So no, I really don't do that. I try and see it like the intro. Usually, I mean, you just, we used to work on intros quite a bit, but without realizing, because you kind of, a lot of it you bring, the classic one is you just bring one, you bring your one thing in and then everyone comes in, or you bring your one thing in, you have this other thing. So you have like, ding, 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 on the strings, and then one, ding, ding, one, ding. So then the strings never really come back. That part never comes back. So that's, you know, exclusive, if that's the way, to the intro. And maybe, you know, then you kind of go back to it on the outro, but you do it heavier.
Mm.
But I don't know. I don't sit there and think about it too much. We don't work on intros really that much because they're kind of obvious. Do you know what I mean? I think they kind of present themselves.
It's interesting, Dave. Like I've done like 500 of these episodes now, and people that write guitar music and such generally echo what you've said. But the more sort of, I guess, commercial pop acts, like they're the ones that lean more towards that. You know, start the song with a chorus straight away. You know, and I always kind of use this sort of, in my mind, I see it as like fashion and style, and it's like, you know, if you're just going to follow the trends, then yeah, you're going to have your 10 minutes, but that fashion's going to come and go. Whereas I think, like a pair of 501s, they're always going to be there. Do you know what I mean? Whereas your flares, your skinny jeans, they're going to come and go.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think let's take, of all people, like Nile Rodgers, he starts every song with the chorus.
Yeah,
but it's all a big chorus. It's all a dance. It's like dance music before dance music, really, isn't it? It's all in that mood. It doesn't go to a big minor. It doesn't like, you know, you got a like Bicycle by Queen, Bicycle Race, and it stops and goes, you see, bleh, that's it, wait. And it just completely changes. It, none of them do that. It kind of just stays like on a line. And just feels good from start to finish, like a dance song does.
Yeah.
So I think with dance music, they write the chorus, and that's it. That's in the rest of it. Rest of it, you don't. It's rare I can remember. You know what is what? Clean Bandit. We played with them last year, and it was like the start of the songs. What's this? And then when he got to the chorus, it was like, oh, right, yeah, I know this. Do you know what I mean? Of course I know this. This is huge.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, really. I think that's what makes people different. But yeah, you probably, with guitars, you have to, because you're playing it, you have to kind of feel your way into it. You know, you want to like, you have to get your mood on before you start singing. So if you have like four bars or something before it comes in, that's good. But if you look at Help by the Beatles, that's a good example of style with the chorus.
That's the most picked song for the podcast.
It's I think it's the first, one of the first to do it. Or Bye Bye Love by the Everly Brothers.
Mm.
Like that starts with the chorus. But the verses are generally better, or it makes the verse better than the chorus, because all we hear is the story. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's I'm not against any of them. I think if you've got like a really strong bit, why not start with it? Because as you say, people's attention spans seem to be dwindling. Is that dwindling? Dwindling. Whatever. They seem to be going like.
I'm gonna ask you for track two, Dave, to tell me the first song you remember hearing had an emotional impact on you, please.
Walk Right Back, the Everly Brothers. It's not the first song, but it's definitely the most powerful one. Because I think I'd split up with this girl. I was about 19, and I went to my mates, and I'm sat there and you know, my head's battered, but I've just bumped into my mate. So, you know, when you take your mind off it, so build a little rocky spliff, have a couple of pulls each. I said, I've been listening to these, the Everly Brothers, and he'd be like, go ahead, put them on. And I put it on, and I just went boom, and I just felt so sad. I didn't cry, I felt really lost, and it hit me hard what was going on. And it was the song that done it. So I said, look, I'll have to. He said, you're all right, me mate. He was a bit older than me, mate. I went, yeah, but I've got to walk home, like. And it was a good, like, 40-minute walk down a big, long, like, countryish road. So I just got the tape back in my pocket, and I just walked home, like, that. And was, like, and I had the song in my head, and I was like, wow, a song's never done that. Like, the Beatles make you kind of feel happy. You want to listen to it again and again. Whereas with that, I was kind of worried about the next time I heard it. And then a few days later, I put it on and it wasn't the same. But, you know, I've loved it ever since, just because I don't know how to play it on the guitar. It's just one of them songs. It's like, it sounds, makes you think it's all sweet and nice, but then I don't know, it just got me bad. I felt spaced. I mean, the spliff didn't help, like, but you know, it was like, I'm walking down a road and I'm looking up at the sky. I'm questioning the gods, you know what I mean? What's going on? But yeah, what a song. But again, when you learn that, it sounds really complicated. And I think it's the harmonies on any Everly Brothers song. It always makes these other chords up that only they can make up with the voices. When you're actually there to play it, it's just, you know, G, A, D.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think, while we're talking about those sort of formative years, tell us a little bit about where you grew up, mate, and was home a sort of musical environment? And if so, like, what sort of stuff was you being exposed to at home?
Well, I grew up in a place called Knowsley, which is kind of on the outskirts of Liverpool. We're Wolves, we'd be known as Wolves. But it's actually older than Liverpool. It's over 1,000 years old, which I always tell the Scouts, you know, proper Scousers, like. And I shouldn't say that because I'm a Scouts, about as Scouts as it is. Sounds really, but it was like, it was kind of in between a load of big estates and this, like, Lord Derby's estate. So it was just this tiny village, Knowsley Village, in between that, and it was ancient, but there wasn't many kids around it. There wasn't many people around there. It was very small. So I used to, and then growing up, the only music I was exposed to really was kind of like 80s music, because my brother was mad on Depeche Mode, Tears for Fears, Yazoo, anything that Vince Clark done. Later on, he was into, like, Aphex Twin, and is it Warp or Mute? It's like he was into all that type of stuff. And then he had a big influence on me growing up, and only later on in life, because I think that's why I got into rock music, because I was, all I heard in the house was 80s and, you know, synth pop, really. So that was kind of like, and classical music, weird one, classical music. I'll know it, but I can never remember. I wouldn't know what to put on to play you, to show you. I really like this one. I can just sing it, you know what I mean? But it's that's how I grew up. My mum and dad never played, my brother never played nothing. I think he really wanted to, but I think he still does. But my other brother wasn't really musically inclined like that. He was into rave. He was a raver. He'd go out and party all the time. Like, This Is England, that was kind of his bag.
Yeah.
And so I was exposed to a bit of that growing up. But then, you know, obviously other lads from certain areas who play guitar was always interesting. And I got into heavy metal first. I got into Metallica, Megadeth, Pantera a bit later. Tried to get into Iron Maiden, and I still wonder what's going on with that band now, because I used to love Eddie Maiden, surely. I used to have all the all the postcards. I used to have posters and everything. But when I put the records on, I was like, I like Run to the Hills. Yeah. That's it. The rest of it's just like, it's a bit theatrical, isn't it?
I'm exactly the same. Exactly the same. Run to the Hills is a banger, but the rest of it, nah.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, I thought it's like they nailed it with that song, but there's a lot of it.
Mm.
And I remember that, you know, seven, seven, never seven, seven. I remember loads of the songs, but I was just, it was kind of like Irish music, innit? But like on guitars.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was like. Because I'm not really, not that I'm not into Irish music, but I respect Irish music, but I'm leaning more towards country music, which is from Irish music anyway. But I'd kind of, I'm just gone off on one. But that's what I grew up with, really. Just rock, Rage Against the Machine, Nirvana. They were big. Guns N' Roses. They were like the first loves. And then I got into the Beatles and Sonic Youth, Pearl Jam, Mudhoney. Who else? Alice in Chains. Wow. I just got into a load of different guitar. But when the Beatles came along, that was kind of like a life-changing moment, because there's so much going on and they're always speaking directly to you. They're not moaning about nothing. They never moan, and then they kind of, it's all designed to make one feel at ease with everything, and it does what it says on the tin, you know what I mean? It's like all the rumours that I did off my mum and all that the Beatles were the greatest, it's kind of true, do you know what I mean? And it could be, I don't care if people think that's boring, because it's just the truth, do you know what I mean? And the fact that they were from not far away, that kind of made me, when I was a kid, I was like, oh, they're not American. You know, I like American music, and you know, being with them, all of a sudden it's like, well, these kind of sound American, but they're from down the road. I say, okay, yeah, that works. But emotionally, that tore me apart, because I'd have these phases then where I was into the Kinks, the Stones, the Beatles.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Led Zepp, and it was like, and then I'd get into grunge music again. But when you're a kid, I was like, you've got to be into grunge, or you've got to be into 60s, 70s. Like, you've got to be into that. We should never blend the both. And then as I got older, when I reached about 18, 19, I just realised you can listen to whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was trying to stay loyal, if you like, to him, to the grunge music.
But what's weird is, you can see the I guess as you get older and you look back, you can see the sort of the crossover, because, you know, those first, definitely the first record, like 10 by Pearl Jam, is essentially very Zeppelin, and you know, there's,
yeah,
I think there's so much of the sort of the later era Who in what Pearl Jam do, and I think most of them kind of, maybe not so much Nirvana. I think Nirvana have always kind of looked back and picked up more of the kind of sort of pop elements, that, because I still to this day think Nevermind's one of the greatest pop records ever made. I think every track on that album is just fucking riddled with just perfect pop songs. Like,
yeah.
But, it's weird how you sort of get, you know, I guess your formative years, it's tribal, isn't it? And then as you get older, you just realise, I can just listen whatever I fucking want to. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, whatever mood I'm in, do you know what I mean? And then I suppose nowadays, it's even more so, because it's like, you only got to pick your phone up. You haven't even got to go and buy the records.
Yeah.
You just pick your phone up and go to whichever world you want, which is a lovely thing, but I also find it, like, loads of the time I pick my phone up and go on, I'm on Apple Music, I'm not on Spotify yet, not out of choice, not out of, it's just, I'm just not, and I look at the screen and I go, what should I put, and then I go to put, like, you know, one of the Nirvana, and then I go, do you know what, you've heard that loads of times, there's loads of music on here, what you put on. And then, you know, somewhere along, like Supertramp came up recently, Crime of the Century. So I've been listening to that loads, because that's kind of like another Pink Floyd for me. It's like another version of that band. So it's like that they've been kept secret for years from me. So that's my latest album where I'll listen to it, start to finish, and go, great. Do you know what I mean? Because I do like albums. I do. I'm not when you're driving, especially in the car, which is kind of where me main stereo at the moment, when I'm out with the baby and my partner, it's like that's where I'm looking around and I'm active, and but I'm also concentrating on that. So it's saying you don't want to be flicking, you don't want to be, you know, reckless driving, flicking through songs. So I just like to put records on. Do you know what I mean? And I try and find playlists, but I'm really bad, I'm going to be honest. I'm not looking in the right places. Like, it seems like Spotify is way more up my street, but I'm just too lazy to cancel one and start the other. It's like, oh, they've got them all here. Do you know what I mean?
Dave, tell me about a song that reminds you of your time at school, please.
Ace of Base, All That She Wants. I know. I'm not going to go into detail about it, but that's what I had to think about this a lot. Supergrass All Right was on there, but Ace of Base took the chord more of school, because just the way the girls dressed and, you know, everyone was way more Ace of Base than it was Supergrass. Because that was kind of like looking back to the 70s and in the 90s, wasn't it?
Mm.
And I couldn't grow sidey. I do love Supergrass, but I couldn't grow sideys. And I couldn't, it was a bit advanced. You know what I mean? But I don't know why. I know you want me to. It reminds me of a few things from school, but. Nothing that I'd like to talk about.
How was school? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah. I got two out of the juniors. For hyperactive behaviour, they called it that. I got through out. Don't know what they call it now. There's probably a million names for it now, you know what I mean? But I'm still undiagnosed. I mean, I tried to get diagnosed recently, but I think they realised that I wasn't completely give me medication, because I don't want medication. I'd rather go through it, whatever it is. But they said, you know, you've got traits of this. You could be autistic. You could be ADHD and whatever. I think it's all the same thing to a certain extent. But they said at the end, don't call us. We'll call you. And then I was like, okay, all right then. And then they haven't been in touch. It's been about 2 months, something like that now. I don't think they will do. But my mate, who's a doctor, I asked him, I said, how come they, he said, they've got a list of people, really long list of people, who are literally like way worse than you, and they have to go and see them people. Do you know what I mean? Sorry, I've got off on one of you. Let's just, you know. Anyway,
did you?
But that's kind of so. So in school, I was constantly, I couldn't sit still, and I was always getting into trouble for one reason or another. I was just, you know, a nuisance, really. That was all when I was quite young, like 9, 10. When I got to like 11 or 12 and you joined secondary school, that's when I kind of got my act together. But I mean, in secondary school, you had more room and time to go and look at and be mischievous. There was a lot more places to hide, a lot more, but especially in our school, it was right by a big woods. So any differences you had with people or anything like that, or any differences they had with you, they'd come and find you, and it would all stay in the woods. You know what I mean? You wouldn't fight or you wouldn't argue in school. And I managed to stay in. Any time I got in trouble, though, they threatened with sending me back. I had to go to this school with 40 kids in. That was just like, it was mad. It was a mad school. It was like, the first day I got there, I was sat down. I was like, oh, the new lads, yeah. So then we start talking in the lesson, and this lad stands up and he goes, fucking shut the fuck up, you. And fucking throws up his book at the teacher and out the blue. And then they all look at each other and go, woo, and just run out the class. And then they just run round the school, just banging on all the windows while trying to disrupt everyone else's class. That was what they done all day. And then the teacher got them and put them in this thing called the timeout room. And basically, that just meant like, he got hold of them. They'd start kicking and screaming. He'd throw them in this room and lock them in. And it was like a cell, basically. Timeout, they called it. And you could just hear them punching and kicking the door. And it was just like, shameful. And let me out. I don't know what to do nowadays, like, but...
It sounds like solitary confinement.
Yeah, it pretty much was, but with sunlight. But, you know, everyone would calm down in the end, and then he'd go, are you ready to come out? Are you going to behave? Come on, then. But, that was my school. That was the most... I remember that, and the soundtrack to that was There's No Other Way by Blair. We had that on the radio when we were playing footy one day. Because for some reason, that would be happening. But after, it was like people took it in turns to be naughty and be the one in the room. But then when you weren't doing that, you were just getting on with what you were meant to be doing.
Yeah.
But like all day, you'd be in a lesson. And on the very last hour of the day, not like normal school, they give you a play time. So that means you could play pool, play football, do whatever you wanted, really. They'd have ongoing activities, like a reward at the end of the day. Reward system.
Dave, tell me the first record you remember buying from a record shop.
Right. It was Green Day. Oh, no, do you know what? It wasn't Green Day. Sorry. It was Use Your Illusion 1 by Guns N' Roses. Yeah. I went to R Price. I think it was like £6 for the cassette. My ma gave me it. Brought it home. Listened to it. And my mum was like, you know, getting that bloody money off me, you. And I went, well, mum, I've got something else to tell you. She went, what? I went, part two's coming out next Saturday. And everyone's going to have it. And you know, the blue one, it's the away kit. Do you know what I mean? And she went, all right, then. Here's £6. Here's your bus fare. Here's a tenner. Go to St. Helens and go and buy it. But, and then I bought it the week after. And I was just like, wow, this is amazing. It's like, when's part three coming out? And obviously it never did. And he didn't do anything. I don't think he ever done anything again, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
That was any good. But what a shame. Like, but still, I got them. But so that was it. Whenever after that, I can't remember what albums I got. I think I got into tape and albums that, do you know what I mean? Because what it was, I let people use my tapes to copy onto theirs from the masters. And then I kind of had this life then. So then I got like, you know, Nirvana, Rage Against the Machine, whatever was coming out. There was Unlock coming out at that time. Like every week there was just loads of, a lot of classic records, loads that I missed out on, like Red Hot Chili Peppers. I missed the boat with that. There's just loads, you know what I mean? But
I think it's kind of like,
what's it, that?
There was there's a moment, I think it's in 1991, like, and listeners, you know, I've probably got this wrong, but I think it's about 1991, and it was the year that, I think it was like Nevermind, 10, Alice in Chains, Green Day, Rage Against the Machine, Smashing Pumpkins, like Sonic Youth, like all released like fucking incredible albums. You just think,
yeah.
Does that happen that often? Verve, yeah, would have released, Storm in Heaven? Yeah. Like, what a fucking live band they were at that point. Man. Like,
That was the first band that I ever seen was the Verve supporting Smashing Pumpkins. I was 11. And it was, I went to the Royal Court with my big older mate. And we went to watch them, and what a night that was. But looking back, it's such a cool first concert to go to. But the Verve were great. I bought the album and I was a bit like, it was quite hippie-ish. But I still liked something about it. I think I like it more now than I did back then, you know.
I was at that, not that show, I saw that tour in London.
Yeah.
I was a big Pumpkins fan, and it was, first day was Gish, wasn't it? I think, I don't think they'd released
Siamese Dream.
Siamese Dream? Oh, it was, yeah, right.
I thought that was like the first one I ever put
in. Yeah, but like, as much as I love the Verve, that era of him generally being Mad Richard, he was unbelievable to watch on stage at that point. He was just absolutely fantastic, and that live version of Gravity Grave. That, like, I don't know if you've heard that, the live version from Glastonbury. I think they put it on the B side of one of the.
No.
Fucking hell, man. It's just.
Do you know what it was? I was in. Yeah. Sorry to talk over you.
That's all right. No, I think there's a tiny delay on this. So I think, like, but carry on, though.
No, I think because I was into, like, heavier stuff, and it was the first band I'd ever seen in a venue. I would love to go back and watch that gig if it was on video, or I'd love to go back in time and watch it, because I definitely didn't realise what I was seeing, what I was witnessing, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they would have been really getting on as a band of it, if they would have really, like, been tight, and it just would have felt really good, and it did. From an 11-year-old in the crowd, it was just like that. It did feel good, but a lot of the gig for me was like this. You know what I mean? I was like falling over and get back up on my feet. That was the gig for me. It wasn't, you know what I mean? It wasn't really like, it was quite scary at times. But the thing, Ian, what was I going to say? We're playing with Richard Ashcroft in Wigan. In the summer, weirdly, Dad, I'm not advertising that. Well, I am. Maybe I am, but it's just popped in my head now. Well, maybe I'll get to meet him and tell him this long, boring story that he probably won't even listen to. Sorry, what the fuck am I on about? It's not boring at all. It's cool.
Tell me about the song that soundtracked your years going clubbing, Dave.
Okay, this is Nine Inch Nails, Closer.
And what a fucking tune, man.
Yeah. Because I never really got them. And I was in used to go to this club called the Crazy House in Liverpool, and it was like a bit of a metal club one night and then an indie club the next. And then it was just an all-rounder on the other night. But I'd try and go as much as possible because, you know, it was the only place really, if you had long hair, that you could have a drink in peace and maybe cop off with a girl or two. Like, so it was, but that song came on, and there was this really geeky lad, and he had no top on, and he had like all you know, piercings and all that. And I used to look at him and think, fucking hell, man, that looks like hard work, what he's done to himself there. And not in a bad way, just like fair play. That's what he's living his life. And then that song came up, and I was at the bar, and I walked to the edge of the edge of the dance floor, and he had two birds at each side, and he was like doing this, and, but I want him doing this like sexy dance. And he was like, you know, kissing the pair of them, and they were kissing each other and all that. And I was just stood there like that, with the eyes hanging off me, and going, fucking go ahead, mate. Like, yes, don't be. I was like, fucking hell, I knew he had something about him. But that song was the main thing about it, because I was like, fucking hell, this song's fucking cool. Like, and I never listened to it. I only ever listened to it in there. And then about 8 years ago, I remember that song, and I put it on in my headphones. And I was just like, wow, what a song this is. And it just doesn't, it could come out now that
yeah.
It doesn't sound old at all. And it just sounds very, very Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a story as well. Do you know the video for the song?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We met the director in LA. And I didn't know I was a bit of a wanker with him. He said he liked our band, and he was like, maybe I can do a video for you. And I said, really, do you like our band? I said, well, what do you like about it? And he told me exactly what he liked about it, and then called me an asshole. I was just like, he said, I like this song, I like this song, and I like this song. So fuck you, asshole. And I was just like, you know, looking back now, and at the time I was laughing like you are, and I was laughing, but looking back now, I was like, we probably could have made a really cool video. We ain't got closer. We're not that type of band, but we could have done something. We probably could have made a better video than what we actually did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, you know, life's full of resentment.
I like the fact that you're being completely transparent. That fundamentally comes down to the fact you've been a wanker.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? There's no two ways about it. It was like, you've been a fuck. But I was a wanker. I was in a wanky kind of the mood. I wasn't enjoying myself. We had all this big studio. Everyone in the band fucking hated each other. It was just like third album, fucking blues. Do you know what I mean? But he just came in at the wrong time. You know, you can be a wanker. It doesn't mean you necessarily are a wanker all the time.
Yeah.
I keep telling myself that. Fucking hell. Yeah.
Dave, I'm going to take you home for track six and ask you to tell me your favourite song from an artist from your home county, please.
Well, you know what's coming here, don't you? the Beatles and your bird can sing, because it literally is like an antidepressant. If you're feeling a bit weird or you're feeling anxious, which as you get older, I think becomes more of a thing, and you overthink. If you're overthinking, I'm an overthinker. God, and you put that song on, it's like, it just sorts your head out big time. It makes you feel better. And it's like, all right. I even talking about it's making me feel better. And it's even just the, like, that is just, I remember when I was in school when I heard that, and I nearly started crying. Do you know what I mean? I was just like, wow, what's that? And then some fella showed me how to play it. And then it was just like, this is incredible, but can you play two notes at the same time? He said, yeah, it's like a mini chord. And I was like, yeah, but it's not, is it? It's kind of like, it was just an amazing song. And the song's kind of, it's kind of a sarcastic thing on him saying, and your bird can sing. You know, you keep telling me this and that, and you're telling me, yeah, but I don't believe you, because, you know what I mean, your bird's doing your head in. Clearly, that's what John Lennon meant. So, it just gets deeper the more and more you find out about it. It's just a perfect song. Like,
I want to pick up on something you said earlier about, you know, when you pick your phone up, you know, there's the whole, you know, the whole universe of music is there. But a lot of the things that you've sort of spoken about today, you know, referencing going to our price to buy things, you know, those, and I don't want to sort of venture into granddad territory and you know, talk about the good old days and how it's all changed, but
do we?
The one
it's
thing,
granddad, you know, are you physically a granddad?
Like, I'm not yet, no. Like,
not but, yet. Well, you know, it's officially not good. Sure, the war.
But what?
You know, like, Uncle Alfred's all right. Oh.
The one thing that I miss, and I've, you know, if we're doing these podcasts, the amount of attachment that people put in, you know, referencing going to this shop, buying that, and they can go, I remember that first record I bought was in that shop, and I remember it cost, you know, £4, £6, whatever it was. And, you know, you saying about Use Your Illusion and going back and, you know, wanting to get the next version, you know, the second one. And one of the things that all of them, you know, when I mentioned all of those albums as well, like Pearl Jam, Nirvana, like all of these bands, I've got such, when I think of them, I think of these iconic album sleeves. And I think what I think is lost, and I'm interested to get what your thoughts are on it now, because when you look at your phone and there's a new record by somebody out and that artwork is the size of your thumbnail, it's
literally, it's smaller.
Whenever you see these sort of books or documentaries about the greatest album covers ever, none of them are from the last 10 years. And it's, there's probably great artwork out there, but I do feel that that's something that I miss, being able to sort of pull out that album and have a look through the sleeve notes. And when you could only afford one album, you know, every couple of weeks or whatever, you'd fucking devour that album, wouldn't you? Listen to it back to front and to the point where you'd know.
I totally agree with you. But basically, we're on the cusp now of, you know, you're going to be, you've got fucking, you remember Games Master? Fucking, what was his name? The guy with the brain. Remember, you asked the brain? You've got the fucking brain. Google is the brain. So we're on Games Master now. So basically, but it's Games Master with a twist, because it's fucking real. And, you know, you ain't playing no games no more. So it's just like, you basically, you, the next thing now is to put your VCR, is it, headset on, and then you'll be in the record with a load of animation and images, and or you'll be at the gig in your headset, which is cool and all that. But it's not cool if you remember the good old days, as we said, you know, during the war. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's not good, because you have to use a lot of imagination and going to the shop and just looking at albums and going, right, I want to pick that one because I like the colour of it, you know what I mean? I like the look of that. And I hate to say it'll sound like a conspiracy fucking dude or whatever, but it's kind of like the more, it's all directed now. It's staying where you're at and not really leaving the house and not communicating, as far as I can tell. It's kind of more, if you're communicating with someone, it's usually like we are now. We haven't met up. Do you know what I mean? So, and I'm not having a go with you because it is easier. Do you know what I mean? And you probably don't want to spend that 100 quid or whatever it is to get on the train and come and see me because we can do this. But this is a good interview. So sorry, what am I saying is the less and less money there is and the less and less advantages you can put on yourself, or if that, the less and less luxury you've got to go and do certain things like that. Because I'm saying luxury, it's not really luxury. It's just communication. I just think the world is communicating less and less and less, but it's under this guise of staying in your house, never moving out your house. And so that, it's going to play on that. I know I've gone off on one here. I really have, but I just think, I don't know what the answer is. It's just the natural, I don't like it. I don't like fucking, I don't like streaming services in any way because they don't pay you any fucking money. Do you know what I mean? But what can you do about it? It's got you by the balls, like, do you know what I mean? People still buy vinyl and that's great. And like, we can buy our vinyl. And I'm not against AI. I'm not against sitting there. If you went home and you put a DVD on and you watched the DVD with your album, that's kind of the while you've done it. I'm all for that. That sounds incredible. Do you know what I mean? But it's a lot, isn't it? It's a lot to do. What I'm saying is,
it's communication, Dave, and it's exactly that. And what you were saying about, you know, staying in, I've run an alternative venue for 31 years, and when I first started there,
cool,
people would come out and they'd get into the club early because they wanted to hear new music because they couldn't hear it anywhere else. The DJs were getting the new music, and you'd want to go there. And as you said, you know, you go to the crazy house because, you know, they were playing the music you wanted to hear, and there was a chance you might cop off. And like, but now, you know, I'm still at this club. I'll be there tonight. And what's interesting is there's no, that new music, you've got it on your phone. If you want to meet someone, there's a million and one dating apps on your phone. You don't have to go out. You can sit indoors and you can do that. If you're, you know, you're not going to go out for dinner because you can go on your phone and somebody's going to deliver food to your front door or deliver a case of beer to your front door. That worries me. Like, that's my concern, because I see in my club that, you know, there's always going to be people that want to go out and jump around to kind of guitar music. But it seems to be getting smaller and smaller. All the sort of clubs around me are all disappearing and shutting. And it's only the fact that I think...
Well, the moment... Sorry, go ahead.
No. I'd kind of finished. Oh, I was just going to go in on the right rant. There is a little delay, yeah.
It's like... Well, they keep I was talking to my mate about climate fucking change the other day. And I said to him, I said, well, what happens with food and all that? You know, if there's just like, I know I'm going off on one again, but fuck it, because this is all part of what's being told. This is the narrative, if you like, of fear that is being pumped into people all the time. So, okay, if it puddles everywhere and I've got to wear wellies to go here and to go there, which is, for me, I mean, fucking hell, I will be talking about the good old days then, won't I? But it's like, if that's what's going on, that's just going to be weird. But at the same time, food coming out the sky and from a drone and delivering your meal every day, you couldn't need it, aren't you? But it's kind of just like, it seems like it's all planned. It seems like it's all, but going back to what I was saying, Patrick Moore, it's just going to come out the fucking sky and we're all going to be plugged in at the same time, and they're going to switch the on button, and you're just going to go, right, I'm in now. Do you know what I mean? Maybe, oh God, I'm talking like the Matrix here, but it's kind of like, I thought we were in the Matrix. Are we going into the Matrix, or are we already, are we taking a step up? See, this is why I don't talk to people, and I shouldn't be talking to you now on this podcast about things like this. It seems like they just want you to shut up,
yeah,
be happy, and not do anything about anything, and just let people do what they want to, with empowered. And okay, I mean, and it's not like I've got a gun, or I'm gonna create a march or anything next week. But it's not even like in me music, I'm kind of like rebelling. It's, I just want the message of the Zootons is to try and make people feel good when they hear the music. If it makes you feel good, job done. Do you know what I mean? Or if it makes you feel something, job done. That's the whole point. I've never really been a politically minded writer or not, because I think there's enough of that, and there's other people who do that. They write whole books about it. They really know this shit. I don't think you can just dip your toe in, do you know what I mean? And I'm not saying that would never happen. You can write like a song that, you know, war is terror is a terrible thing, and you can write a song about, you know, how much you don't like it, or how much people should be loving each other rather than fighting. But in terms of it, the more and more that this thing's going on now with phones and that, it is talking about the old days and all that shit, but is it just, it's just natural, isn't it? It just seems like, what would you do now? Can you stop that now? Can you say, right, you've got, everyone's got to put the phones down? I mean, can you even do that?
Yeah.
It's such a fucking, it's just the evolution, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, sorry to go.
Mate, you talk about whatever you want. This is your last track, Dave, and I'm going to ask you to tell me a song that you think many people may not know that you would like them to hear, please.
Well, it's Devin the Dude, See What I Can Pull. And I don't know if people should hear it, but I kind of like rappers when they rap about shit stuff, or they rap about real stuff, do you know what I mean? But really, you can tell that they're sad deep down. So this tune's about, like, he's got no money to get into the club, so he waits outside till the end of the night for drunken girls to come out. And he sits with his mates on the car, and he's waiting outside to see what he can pull. But he also talks about certain birds that he's been with over time, but like I said, it's just dead seedy, but the words aren't seedy, it's just really, really sad. It's such a sad rap song. It's kind of like, you know, I Need Love by LL Cool J,
yeah,
where he's rapping about needing love.
Yeah,
he's not rapping about being a gangster, he's rapping about being a loser who hasn't even got the money to get into the club, because yeah, obviously gangsters, they rap about the club. He's like, nah, I'll be outside sitting in, that's what he says, I'll be sitting in front of me ride, drinking and smoking some weed, checking all the bitches. That's what he says, right? But I was in a funny place. I was taking a lot of drugs and drinking a lot at the time when it just came up on me feed type of thing. Sorry, just that. Yeah, it came up on my feed, so it was kind of like, I listened to it about five times on a run, and every time it just got funnier and funnier and funnier, but even the production on it is just, it's just nothing. It's like, he's just, what I love about it is it's just him telling a story, and there's really nothing else to it, do you know what I mean? And the further you look into him, he's just like smoking weed and occasionally being him social, you know what I mean? That's his life. Like, that's why you should hear it, because in this day and age, that way, you're not the only one, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Dave,
if that makes any sense.
we make it nice and easy for people to go and check that out, and all the songs that you've spoken about. We do a little Spotify playlist to accompany the podcast, so people can go and check out all your tracks. And obviously, we'll put your music on there as well. And like I said, we spoke about so many great records. What's going on with the Zootons? What's happening?
We've got a tour starting next week. We're doing Sunday brunch on Sunday. doing a spot of miming on Sunday. But not my. I'll be singing like. Oh no, and I'll be playing my guitar line. We'll be singing. So it's half mime, half back and set.
Yeah.
In fact, these days that's live. We'll be playing live on Sunday brunch. next Sunday. And thinking what else are we doing? We're doing a tour in April. So that starts like a week after. And then we're just doing loads of gigs, loads of promo. And that's it really. Just really busy. But the album itself, that's out in 3 weeks. Well, I don't know when this goes. When does this go out?
About then.
Okay. So this would have all happened by then.
I reckon it'll be out in about 3 weeks, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the tour, we've just done a tour, and it's really great.
we could. I'll tell you what, I didn't realise that the tour starts in April, because you're playing South End, you're coming down to my neck of the woods, and, I've
already done that.
But you've done South End?
And you know what? Yeah, we've done South End, and it was really cool gig. Yeah, I was impressed by the fair in South End. It was fucking like, have you been to Blackpool recently?
Not recently, no.
It's like shut. It's like, no, it's like every time I've been, it just seems to be shut. Maybe I'm going the wrong time of year. But South End, when you went, it was like, oh, this is what it is. This is what a fair is, should be like. Everything was open. There was loads of people there.
Yeah.
It was like the good old days.
So tell us what people can expect from the album, Dave.
Nine songs, musical journey, all pretty upbeat. Or what's the word? It's optimistic. It's an optimistic album. It doesn't mention Brexit. It doesn't mention Boris Johnson. It doesn't mention, like, you know, all the things that a lot of other people mention, really. It's kind of just in its own world. And hopefully you can be part of that world when you listen to it and enjoy it. And hopefully you can take your mind off whatever it is doing your head in, or help you with it if things are doing your head in. You know what I mean? We looked at the running order. We didn't necessarily put all the really upbeat songs on it. We kind of just tried to space it out as good as. And when we got to the nine, because we had about 12, 13 songs. Well, we've got millions of songs, but we had 12, 13 recorded. We just looked at it and was like, it's really good as nine. And, you know, if you look at Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, Talking Heads, Remaining Light, or any Can album, kind of like, most of them songs, they only have like 8 songs, 7 songs on them. And I think it's the future, really. It's like they've become this thing with Sony, when we were on Sony, that you had to have 12 songs on every record. And it was like, really? So it seems like a lot of storytelling going on, do you know what I mean? You can do a lot of that within the 7. You don't have to do that. You can get your point across with one song, really. And then just have that go on for half an hour if you're really good. Which is hopefully what one day we can do on one of our records, you know what I mean? But yeah, that's what's next.
And Dave, if people want to keep up the speed with where you're playing and releases and such, where's the best place to keep up the speed with all things Zootons, mate?
Instagram, the Zootons official Instagram. Because you won't find any posters anywhere, that's for sure. Got me fucking profit. Let's get with the new age. Sorry, mate, what's your name? Stu.
Yeah.
Real.
Dave, honestly, mate, I've been been trying to get this interview with you. I reckon I reached out when I first launched this podcast 4 years ago, because you was one of the first people that I reached out to try and get on this podcast a long, long time ago.
Well,
and I'm so happy that I, you know, got to make it happen today. So I really appreciate your time, mate.
I feel like I know you, but now I actually know your name, so we officially know each other now.
Fantastic.
Cool, innit? I was shit scared of the podcast, mate.
Why?
And then, because we were doing all these fucking, like, radio, BBC Radio South, Radio Norwich, fucking type of things. And they're not bad. They're just a different format, aren't they?
Yeah.
And they'd say, so where have you been for 16 years? And I'd just say, well, you know, drug addiction had a big part to play in it. And they'd just go, okay, next question. Fucking off. And it was kind of like, keep it light. You know what I mean? It was like Partridge, but without the jokes. You know what I mean? So yeah. It was kind of like, I thought, is it going to be like that on a podcast? It's like, and then you start thinking, who am I? Fucking Robert De Niro or fucking, what's his name? Randy Newman. Do you know what I mean? What am I going to talk about for an hour? But it's like, it's actually the way forward, I think, a podcast. Because you kind of get, you get to what it is you're trying to say and express. And you, even just by, if someone's bothered to listen to it, you can hear what that person's like, whether you like them or not, or whether you want to listen to the record or not, just by the conversation you're having, if that makes sense.
Totally agree.
I
totally agree. I think, like,
sorry, go on.
For me, when I see, like, you know, that my favourite actors or musicians on, you know, I'm taking nothing away from Jonathan Ross and Graham Norton and things like that, but it's like, right, one little anecdote and, like, what are you plugging, then gone. And you don't really get to chat. And I think that's what I quite like about podcasts. Yeah. You can just have a natter and wherever it goes, it goes.
Yeah, I mean, this album, I would say this, it's not about drug addiction or getting over it. There's one or two songs that touch on it, but a lot of it, like some of it was wrote when I was on mushrooms, a lot of it was wrote with alcohol. So it's not like I'm anti getting off your head or I'm trying to push sobriety. I was just in a bit of a bad place with it, so I had to stop. But I think a lot of the press releases and that, they kind of make out like, oh, he's clean now and all that. And it's kind of like, well, I don't want people to come to the gig and not drink. Do you know what I mean? It's like, do what you want to do to make that makes you feel good. Don't think I'm here to spread the word about the big book and all that, because, you know, it's there if you need it. But it's kind of like, yeah, I think the album itself, it's not about that. I think I'm saying this because I don't want the album's bar up is quite optimistic. It's not about that side of things. Like,
it seems like,
anyway,
the whole conversation has lent on, like, from you first kicking off and talking about the Beatles and just, you've used the word optimism so many times throughout this chat, and that's a great thing, man.
Yeah. It is, isn't it? Because, you know, the good old days are in touch and distance. Sorry. You said the good old days on me, but I do like it. I do love it. Yeah, you know, because the world's a funny place at the moment. And Games Master's on the rise. So we need optimism in our lives.
Absolutely. Dave, thanks so much, man. I'm going to press stop on here, but don't go anywhere.
Mate.
Just going to press stop, but don't disappear. There you go. Told you it was a good one. And there was a few little sort of glitches with the delay. So, you know, trust me when we wasn't intentionally sort of a couple of times talking over each other, there was just a slight delay. And it can't be helped sometimes. I'm presuming nobody was at work today because it's Good Friday. And so everybody was on the old internet. So things slowed a little. But it certainly didn't affect the enthusiasm and the love that come from that chat. And yeah, go check out the Zootons' new record. Go check out Dave's Choices, and we put some tracks from the Zootons over on Spotify as well on that playlist. And go and watch them live, man. I can't believe I missed the Southend show. That's absolutely fried my brain. But yeah, it is what it is. I'm going to have to venture further afield and get out of sunny Essex, which is no bad thing. Thanks ever so much for listening and supporting the podcast. Like I say, please head over to Patreon and give us a bit of support over there. Other than that, in the links, there's a thing called Buy Me a Coffee. If you just enjoyed this a lot and you'd like to just buy us a cup of coffee, that'd be wonderful. It's nice coffee. Other than that, I will see you next time. In the meantime, be nice to each other. Have a lovely day. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.